are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball!
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Pistons Podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me on Twitter at Kuka Hill NBA. You can find me on YouTube at Kuz Ballroom. You can also find me at Detroit Bad Boys, writing articles about the Pistons. And for the final podcast of this week, there's a ton of things I want to talk to you guys about today. I want to talk about some storylines that I think are building up with the Pistons, some of the reasons why I think the Pistons are going to be so much fun to watch this season, so much fun just to keep up with throughout the offseason, even for people outside of Detroit. I think Detroit's one of those teams that have a lot of things to look forward to, a lot of storylines to follow. And I want to talk about some of those. I really do think it's going to be a fun season, whether the Pistons win a lot of games or lose a lot of games. I think it's just going to be a lot of fun. I also want to talk a little bit about Summer League, since we'll have our first Summer League game on Sunday, and you guys won't be hearing from me until Monday, so you guys will be able to hear my recap to the first Summer League game. So we're going to talk a little bit about Summer League. And then also, there was a quote from Sekou that came out today, and people on Pistons Twitter are losing their minds, or not losing their minds, but I think reading the wrong way into it and making it something it's not. So I kind of want to talk about that because you guys know I'm a Sekou guy. But first, I guess we can kind of talk about Summer League. So Summer League on Sunday. By the way, I'm not going to Las Vegas. I know I told you guys that I might have been going and seeing the games in person. I am not going anymore. I'll be sitting at home watching them on TV just like the rest of everybody else. But maybe in the future, maybe next year I'll go. Maybe the year after that. I don't know. At one point, I want to go out to Las Vegas. I've never been there, so eventually I'll probably make it out there to a Summer League. Maybe next year, but definitely not this year right now. But anyways, the Pistons have their first game on Sunday against the OKC Thunder. Obviously, everyone's really looking forward to seeing Kay Cunningham play. For me, the thing I'm most looking forward for watching, and make sure you guys let me know what you guys are most looking forward to watching in the Summer League at Kuka Hill NBA or in the reviews at the bottom of the podcast. The thing I'm most looking forward to is two things. One, I'm really looking forward to watching Killian Hayes. And I know I've had a lot of people say to me, like, Kuka, why aren't you excited to see Kay Cunningham? No, I'm 100% excited to see Kay Cunningham. I can't wait to watch Kay in a Pistons jersey. I can't wait. It's going to be fun as hell. But in the Summer League, I feel like we all know what Cade's going to do. Like, none of us are, I don't think anyone's really worried about Cade. Everyone knows what Cade's going to be. We know how great Cade's going to be. We know how great Cade is. Like, everyone already knows this about Cade. So I feel like there's not as much of a storyline or something really to, like, follow along with Cade. Like, we're just going to be fun as hell. Like, with Cade, it's going to be more of us just, like, happy as hell to watch him. We're not going to be, like, really, I don't know. I feel like people aren't going to be analyzing as much with Cade because everyone's going to be like, yeah, that's what he's supposed to do. I'm just here to watch him and have fun. For me, I'm going to be watching Killian Hayes. I really want to see Killian take a step forward in the Summer League. He looks like he's gotten stronger. Dwayne Casey talked about he's gotten stronger and is playing much faster, which I think, obviously, Dwayne Casey also mentioned this, and I think a lot of people would agree, that was one of his problems this past season. Not only did he play with like a lack of confidence for a lot of the season and kind of picked it up towards the end, he got a little better with this, but he lacked confidence a lot of the times, didn't play with speed, didn't play with like, I don't know, a sense of urgency. I don't know, kind of played timid. I guess that's the best way to do it a lot of times. Like I said, he started to get a little bit better at that towards the end of the year, started gaining more confidence, started trying things he didn't try before, started looking for a shot a little bit more. But even then, it wasn't to a point where you'd really want to be. So I'm looking at one for Killian Hayes to be confident, going out there looking for a shot, going out there to prove that, like, and show, hey, I'm the best player on this court. I'm the best player on any court that we're going to step on out here in this Summer League, and I'm going to show you guys that I am. So I'd like to see that from him. Second, I'd like to see him shoot well from beyond the arc. I kind of mentioned this on the last podcast, but that is 100% one of the things I'm looking for him with. That's a key to him and Kay Cunningham's relationship working out at all in the backcourt. Him and Cade have to be able to shoot and space the floor for each other. Like I said, no one's really worried about Cade doing that, but Killian Hayes, it's a little bit of a worry. We have to see if he's making a step in that department. I'm not expecting him to go become like a 40% three-point shooter, but definitely I want to see some improvement, some confidence in taking these. And like I've told you guys many times before, I wouldn't be mad if we saw him take a bunch of step-back threes because I know that's the most comfortable shot. I'd like to see it happen. So confidence and looking to prove that he's the best player on the court at all times. Two, his shooting, his outside shooting. And three, I'd like to see him So you, if you guys have been listening to the podcast, you guys know I've said this many times about Killian Hayes. But if this so happens to be the first time you're listening, I'll go ahead and explain it to you again. This past season, I feel like Killian Hayes, the thing that has me so high on him and so many people high on him, is the fact that there was many times when he would create like an advantage for himself. He has a really good handle, a really creative handle, a Yankee Doodle kind of handle. He would yank people around and stuff. But he would do it and then never take advantage of it. Like, he'd create an advantage for himself driving the lane and just stand there. Or he'd create space on a step back or a behind-the-back move and just not taking advantage of it. I don't know if it's because he's lacking confidence or, like, couldn't really read the fact that, oh, crap, I just made myself an advantage. I need to take advantage of this. I'd like to see him take advantage of the handle that he has and really get to the lane and improve his finishing around the rim, or at least try to draw fouls, go into contact. That's a lot of things that he didn't do this past season. He just avoided contact at the rim completely. A lot of that, I'm assuming, had to do with the fact he just wasn't that strong this season. He was a rookie, obviously. It's not that big of a deal in his rookie season. Obviously, it looks like he's also gotten a lot stronger. Dwayne Casey said that, like I've already said. So I'd like to see him look for contact, go into the body of guys, not be afraid to draw contact, get to the free throw line. He really needs to do that. So drawing free throws and finishing around the rim is the other thing I want to look for from Killian Hayes. And then the other thing that I'm really looking forward to with Summer League this year, it's obviously, you guys know where I'm going with this, is Sekou Doumbouya. Sekou, you guys all know that I'm pretty high on Sekou. I really like Sekou. I'm really hopeful for his future, even though I don't think it's with the Pistons, his prolonged future. I think he might spend this season with the Pistons, but I don't think his future's here, which is not a bad thing. I just want Sekou to succeed. But anyways, what I'm looking forward to seeing from him in the Summer League, I want to see him build on the close of his season last year. I've wrote about it for Detroit Bad Boys. I've talked about it a lot. His close of the season last year, if he played like that all season, the storyline behind him or the narrative around him is completely different. Because that player he was for the final, 20 games, was a heck of a player. It was a really good role player. I think that right there, that player right there, if he plays like that all year, we're all happy. We're all saying, oh God, Sekou made a step forward. Maybe he's finally breaking the wall. Maybe he's finally pushing forward, whatever. But since it was only the final third of the season, everyone kind of like just forgets about it or doesn't really care about it. No one really acts like it matters. And it does. He made some legit improvements. I wrote about it at Detroit Bad Boys. It was crazy. Finishing around the rim, really good, really well, compared it to Jeremy Grant, compared it to Julius Randle, compared it to Paul George. He was finishing at a higher percentage on more attempts than all those guys, those final 20 games. And that's something that Dwayne Casey has already came out and said that he's seen is an improvement for Sekou, finishing around the rim and being stronger around the rim. So what I wanted to see was him really prove that that wasn't a fluke, that this is something that he's actually improved on. And it sounds like Dwayne Casey's already seeing that it's continued and went over into the offseason. So I'm looking forward to seeing him in the Summer League really established. Same thing with Killian Hayes. Come out there and prove that you like the best player on the court. We've all seen what Sekou does when he goes down to the G League in his first year. His rookie season, he'd go down to that G League, he'd dominate. He'd go down there and look like a monster. So he should do the same thing. So I want to see him come out here purely aggressive, going to get his own bucket. I don't care. Like, I legit just want him to go out there, search for his own bucket. I don't care if that's ISO, post up, going to the rim, taking the ball in transition. I want to see him go out there and just manhandle guys and prove that he's the best player on the court. That's what I'd like to see from him. And also, like I said, see the carryover from his finishing at the rim. It would be a nice touch if he ends up improving his jump shot, his outside shot right now. But I think more importantly, if he can carve out and get really good at the things he's showing improvement in, those other things can come along. Like I said, he's only 20 years old. He doesn't need to be great at everything. But if he can sharpen up the things he's already good at, that will carve out a role for him and make it to where he's obviously a rotational player. Then he can start picking up the other things. So that's what I'm looking forward to from Sekou this in this Summer League and the offseason in totality. But this Summer League coming up this week. Coming back from the break, we'll talk about a quote that Sekou had today or on Thursday that everyone's taking with and running with and making it something that it's not, in my opinion. We'll talk about that, but stay tuned for that after the break. So, like I said, we're going to talk about this quote that Sekou had today at a press conference. They talked with Dwayne Casey and Sekou. I haven't been able to watch the full press conference with Sekou. I've only seen clips of it. I don't know if there's even a full video out of it. I don't think we can even access that. I don't know, but I'm going to look. But this clip right here definitely was causing a lot of tension in Pistons Twitter and Pistons fan base. Everyone, either you were reading too much into it or you weren't reading into it at all, but I feel like a majority of people were definitely making it out to be something that's not, simply because the narrative around him already is negative and no one really cares about him anymore and no one really likes him. So anything he says, they're just going to like make something out to be that isn't really what he's saying. And also, I'm not saying this is the case, but definitely taking into account that English isn't his first language, and I feel like that what he was trying, for me, I feel like what he was trying to say was pretty simple, and people were just like getting stuck up on certain words that he used that I feel like that had more to do with him just not being like English is not his first language. I feel like that's what it had more to do with. I feel like what he was trying to say was pretty simple. But let me go ahead and play the clip for you guys, and then I'll talk about it a little bit more after.
Jake, how does it feel to be the player with the team the longest? Everybody else that got here when you were here is gone.
It feels special. But at the same time, you're like, what's next? What's next for me, especially? I don't know what's going on. But still, I'm still in Detroit Pistons. I'm still playing for the team, so whatever happened. That's a business.
So, you guys listen to that. Before you guys hear what I have to say about that quote or that whole little segment right there, you guys can go ahead and tweet me what you guys read into that. For me, I don't feel like that was a big quote at all. I don't feel like that should be something. I mean, definitely for me, listen to that. I think it's kind of, I mean, I could see how some people, I saw a lot of people saying it was pretty sad to listen to. I can see why people would think it's kind of sad because it's kind of like Sekou has fallen from, like when he was drafted, he was supposed to be like the savior of the franchise face, like all this stuff. And now he's fallen to like no one cares about him at all. And I feel like you kind of hear that in his voice and in his answer. That's the one thing you can hear, I think, is that he sees that like he's no longer or understands that he's no longer like the top of the priority or really like anyone or like really at the top of anything. Like no one really cares about him. So I feel like you can hear that part. But outside of that, I mean, I saw people saying that, like, he knows something we don't know. He knows he's out, or he's basically saying that he wants out, or he knows that he's about to be traded, or he wants to be traded, or all this other stuff. I really don't see how people got that out of that interview. For me, what it sounds like that he's basically saying, it sounds like he's being a 20-year-old kid who's being completely honest with the media that, hey, this GM that's came in, he's pretty aggressive. And he makes a ton of moves. I'm the only one here. And he openly says, that's pretty special that I'm the one that he's chosen to keep still. I'm the only one still here, so it's special. But I also understand that it's just as fast as he got rid of those guys, he could just as fast get rid of me. Like, and I'm aware of that. I know it's a business. And it seems like he's aware that he's no longer, I don't feel like Sekou was ever really given a leash at all, and that's kind of the thing I've had a problem with him. But either way, it seems like that he was more so saying that, like, hey, I'm aware that I don't really have a leash out here. If I don't perform, he'll get rid of me just as quick as he's getting rid of the other guy. So while it's special that he chose me to be the one guy that's still here, I know that's not going to get me as far as me competing and actually showing up. That only gets me so far. So I feel like that's all he was saying. And I see that a lot of people are like taking his words and being like, oh, look at this. He knows he's gone, or he knows something we don't. He knows he's about to be out of here, or he wants out of here. He's not really happy to be here, blah, blah. I didn't read any of that, bro. I'm going to keep it a stack. I really did not see any of that in that answer. I just see a kid being honest. I really do. I just see Sekou being like an honest person and just giving a blatant answer. And the funny thing is that I had people from outside of Detroit, like other fan bases, the Thunder fan base. I had one from, I forget what other fan base it was, but I had a few people from other fan bases tweet me and be like, yeah, I agree with you. That's basically what he's saying. What's like the big deal here? What's everybody reading into? So, I mean, I guess that just kind of proves this whole narrative that I've been saying is around Sekou now. It's just like, it's just a negative narrative. No one in Detroit, none of the fans, and a lot, I'm assuming a majority of you guys listen to this podcast don't like him anymore. Don't really support him and don't really think that he's much of anything or has a chance to be much of anything. I think that kind of just speaks to that fact that I've been saying for a while that he just has this negative narrative around him to where nothing about him can really be objective anymore. Like that improvement that he took at the end of last season doesn't really even get talked about. Everyone is acting like he never improved. He did. He took a step forward his second season. He did improve. And it's like people just ignore that ever happened. Everybody acts like it like was a dream or something. And then now in the offseason, dude just simply gets honest with Rod Beard when he asked this question. Now everyone's acting like he's calling out the organization or something. He's saying that he doesn't want to be here no more. He's making something making an issue out of it. Or look how sad this is. Or all this stuff. Like everyone just has to make something that's not. I don't really get it. And look, man, this will be the final time I say something about this because this is honestly pretty stupid of me. But it has something to do with this whole subject. If Sekou comes out here and performs in the Summer League, and Sekou improves and gets even better from where he was at the end of last season, I promise you they're not trading him for so Trey Lyles can play. If I get one more person say something to me about Trey Lyles being signed as if that's like some like dude that Sekou should be scared of, that literally, all that's happening, obviously they're giving competition for him. Obviously they're getting competition at each position. They don't want him to get comfortable. They want him to know that, listen, if you don't compete and you don't beat this guy out, you're not going to be in the rotation. No duh. If you can't beat him and he's not better than him, he shouldn't be in the rotation. However, this is not like some fall safe thing where like Troy Reaver is ready to trade Sekou and just wants to get him out of there so they can play Trey Lyles or something, or they can play something else. If the 20-year-old shows an improvement and he starts playing well and starts earning his minutes and showing that he can be a legit part of the future, which I think he did kind of some of that at the end of last season, but even still, in this offseason, in the regular season, I promise you, Trey Lyles is not getting Sekou out of there. If I have one more person say something like that to me, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to lose it. I can't. Trey Lyles will not be the reason why Sekou Doumbouya is no longer a Detroit Piston. Sekou Doumbouya will be a reason Sekou Doumbouya is not a Detroit Piston anymore. I feel like he got some unfair cards here, but eventually, if he gets traded this season, it's going to be because Sekou didn't play well, and it's going to be because Sekou didn't improve fast enough for this team. It's not going to be because of Trey freaking Lyles. Please stop bringing up Trey Lyles to me. I'm begging you, please. Please, just stop. But anyways, when we come back, we're going to talk about the multiple storylines that I see building up for the Pistons, not just in the Summer League, not just in the offseason, but also throughout the regular season that I really think make them an interesting team to watch. And I can't wait for the season to start for this, no matter how many games they win or how many games they lose. I think this is the kind of thing that's going to keep not only people in Detroit watching, but even people outside Detroit interested in the team. But before we get into that, let me tell you guys about your favorite sponsor, Built Bar. The best tasting protein bar on the planet Earth comes with a variety of flavors, including 6 new flavors in caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. All flavors are covered in incredible tasting chocolate and are soft and easy on the teeth to chew. These bars are low in calorie and sugar, but are high in protein and fiber. A flavor I suggest is the peanut butter flavor, packed with 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams net carbs. So go try the Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LACK15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, use promo code LACK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. So, two quick things before we go ahead with these storylines. One, whichever one of you guys asked me about my AC yesterday, I swear to God you guys jinxed me because now the AC is like, it's just really hot in here again. It's just, I don't get it. This is really starting to make me mad that they can't just simply fix my damn AC that's all on and off. But just had to say that, man. I feel like you jinxed me, man. You jinxed it. But secondly, let me just say that the Burger King chicken nuggets are awful. I just had to include that because I ate them tonight and it was just on my head. And I had to let you guys all know, don't ever get Burger King chicken nuggets. They're trash. If Burger King ends up being a sponsor for Locked On, no one tell them that I said this. But yeah, Burger King chicken nuggets, not the way to go. Don't do it. Don't waste your money. I don't care if it's $1.49. I won't spend $1.50 on that ever again. But anyways, let's talk about some of these storylines that I was talking about that are going to be playing out for the Pistons this season. So, first storyline. Obviously, for me, we just got done talking about Sekou. We don't need to go into any further with that. This is one I'm going to be following. Second one, Killian Hayes' improvement. Does he take a step forward? Does him and Cade fit? Do him and Cade fit together? Does Killian Hayes show that he was worth that 7 overall pick? And some people who were saying that he was like a top 5 pick. Does he end up showing that kind of potential this season? Does he show massive improvement? Let's see if that happens. Who starts at center for the Pistons? You got Kelly Olynyk and you got Isaiah Stewart. Which way do the Pistons go? Do they go with Kelly Olynyk and having that be a legit floor spacer and just get the certainty with that and space the floor as much as possible with Killian and Cade on the floor together? Or do they take the chance with Isaiah Stewart that he has made those kind of improvements on the offensive end and the defensive end to where he will fit fine with Killian Hayes and Cade Cunningham? I think he'll have to take a step forward as a pick and pop shooter if that's the case. I don't see him as much as a lob threat. So I think he'll have to take a massive step in that department. So we'll see if that actually happens, which way they go there. Another storyline that we need to be following just for this offseason. Do they bring back Frank Jackson? I think we know they're bringing back Diallo, but I'm starting to question what Frank Jackson's role is on this team. I said on the last podcast, someone asked me, I think it was Bryce, asked me, what's Frank Jackson's role in this team now? And at the time, I was like, yeah, he's definitely going to play, but I went back and looked. Like, I still think he probably will play, but someone's going to be outside the rotation. If you bring back Hamidou Diallo and you bring back Frank Jackson, you got basically Josh Jackson, Sadiq Bey, Frank Jackson, Hamidou Diallo, Cade Cunningham, and when he gets healthy, Isaiah Livers all competing for a spot on the wing or at the two-guard position. So, I mean, obviously, I think Livers, he can wait. I think, though, that they might want Livers in the lineup if he actually is this 3-and-D type of player and is ready to play. I mean, he is a little bit older, so I wouldn't be shocked if that ended up happening. You also got Josh, like I said. Like, where does he fit in? I don't think they want to play Frank Jackson at point guard. I mean, we saw what happened when you played him at point guard. He just isn't that good. But when you play him off court and let him be a scorer, he looks pretty damn good. So where does his minutes come in? Because you're not taking him away from Hamidou Diallo. You're not taking him away from Sadiq Bey, which I think is going to, like, I think they're going to split minutes at the three spot. So it's just like, I'm really interested to see how they go about handling these guys at the wing spots at the two guard. Like, who's going to get minutes? Who's going to have to sit out? Who's going to get their minutes cut? Are they going to pay these guys money just for them to sit on the bench? Like, I don't know what they're going to do. I really thought they would trade Josh Jackson. I mean, they still have time to do that, I guess. But I thought that was going to be something they would do off the bat. I really thought they were going to get him out of there. And maybe that's because they want Josh Jackson to play. Maybe someone else is out the rotation. Maybe they're really big fans of Josh. Like, who knows? Maybe Frank's the guy that sits on the bench. I just want to see how that happens. I think Josh not being traded yet, I think at least says that they're confident or happy with him somewhat. Like, maybe it could be they just haven't found a partner yet. They haven't found a good deal for it. But I think it could also say that they're really happy with him and want him to play. So it's going to be interesting to see how Dwayne Casey and the team handles that whole rotation right there. Another storyline, I mean, obviously, Kay Cunningham is going to win Rookie of the Year. Is he everything that he's built out to be or been said to be? That's an obvious one, though. Another storyline, does Hamidou Diallo end up taking over Sadiq Bey's starting spot? I've said this for a long time now. I've been saying for a few months now that I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, that if Hamidou Diallo takes a major step forward and starts getting closer and closer to his potential, he eventually takes Sadiq Bey's spot. And they just play positionless basketball in that starting lineup with Cade, Killian, and Hamidou Diallo. I mean, all of them are pretty big. All of them are pretty long. They know what they're doing. They're pretty strong players as well. So I feel like they're just going to be positionless basketball. They're going to be switching across the board. So, I mean, they could do that if Hamidou Diallo takes a step forward. Does he take that step forward? Does he improve to a point where they say, you know what, he's just one of our better players. We need him in the lineup. I don't know. We'll see if that happens. Another storyline. Does Kelly Olynyk build upon his Houston breakout? Or does he go back to usually the player that he was throughout his whole career? Either of them will be fine. Obviously, you'd like him to, you'd take him being the Houston guy. But if he goes back to who he was his whole career, he's still going to fill what the purpose the Pistons signed him for. But I think it'll be interesting to see if he's going to build upon that and that actually the player he could be. Or is he just going to fall back into, you know, the role that he's always been and kind of regress back to the norm? I think that's something that people should be watching out for. This one is another obvious one, but will the Pistons push for a play-in game or will they be towards the bottom of the conference again? I don't think they want to just purposely lose, even though I think they're going to probably lose a lot anyways. But it'll be interesting to see, do they actually push for the play-in game? Another storyline that has to do with the immediate future, can the Pistons win the Summer League? I see that they're like the second highest odds behind, I believe, the Trailblazers. Can the Pistons win the Summer League? Can Kate Cunningham win Summer League MVP? Can Killian? Can Sekou? Can one of our guys win that? Will this be a big deal? Will Pistons fans make it a big deal like LA did when they won it a few years ago? I know I'm going to. I already said I'm overhyping everything that happens in Summer League. So I think Summer League, even depending on who plays well, who doesn't play well, what they show, what they don't show, that's going to create many storylines in and of itself. So I think there's just so many things to watch with the Pistons this year. I didn't even talk about multiple other things. I mean, you can talk about Sadiq Bey. Does Sadiq Bey improve in area parts of his game? Does Saban Lee take over the backup point guard spot, or is that taken up by Corey Joseph? Does Sekou go down to the G League for a while and build up confidence there while they try to play, like, you know, crazy lineups, and maybe they play, you know, I don't know, Sadiq Bey 4 with three other guards, with Hamidou Diallo, Kay Cunningham, and Killian Hayes, and then Jeremy at 5. I know Dwayne Casey said something about Jeremy Grant at the 5. Now, do I think they're actually going to do that? Absolutely not, because Jeremy's not a good rebounder. He's not a really good rim protector either, so I don't think they would do that. But I think it's going to be interesting to see if they actually do something like that. Another immediate future one. How much do Frank Jackson and Hamidou Diallo get paid? We still have not really heard anything on that front. We don't know how much they're going to get paid. We don't know if they're even going to get an offer sheet. I think it's looking more and more likely here that they're just going to agree to a contract with the Pistons at some point. But I don't know. A lot of teams are using their cap space. Charlotte just used a lot of their cap space to sign Kelly Oubre to a two-year contract. So, I mean, I think today on Green Room, there was people were saying how many teams actually have enough space to offer at least $9 million. I think they counted six or seven teams that have that cap space, and only like a few of them would really make even a little bit of sense. And one of them was OKC, so you know OKC's not going to offer anything for Hamidou Diallo after they just traded him. Oh, by the way, they renounced the rights to Svi Mykhailiuk, so Svi is a free agent now. That kind of sucks. But anyways, yeah, another storyline to watch there. There's just so many things for the Pistons this year that you can talk about. And again, I still haven't even mentioned every single one out there. There's so many different things you could be watching them for. The specific lamps to get out there. Do you want to see Killian Cade out there together? Do you want to see Killian Cade and Olynyk together? I want to see Cade, Killian, and Sekou out there together. You guys know why that is. But I know there's a lot of other people that also want to see Diallo with those three. I know there's people out there that want to see Cade with Isaiah Stewart. Like, there's all kinds of lamps as well that you can't wait to see when they play out. The Pistons are going to be fun this year, basically, at the end of the day. They're just going to be really fun to watch, not just for people inside Detroit, but people just tuning in from everywhere. Detroit's going to be fun again, guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. For the longest time, Detroit just wasn't fun. They were boring to watch. Blake Griffin kind of brought that a little bit back with his 2018-19 season, but even after that, it's just been boring. Not a lot of people like them. Not a lot of people like to watch the Pistons. I think that's changing, guys. This is going to be a lot of fun this year. So buckle up. We're going to get our first taste of that on Sunday. I hope you guys all enjoy it. I believe the game is at 8 p.m., so make sure you guys are watching that. 8 p.m. Eastern time, I believe it's at. Make sure you guys mark that down. You guys don't miss that game. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think the Pistons have, like, the main, like the face of the, what do they call it? I don't know why I'm drawing a blank right here. They're going to be, like, the main coverage on each network when they play. Like, they're going to be the big game. I think they each time they play, they're at, like, 8 p.m., 8:30. So it's, like, going to be the big game every time they play because, obviously, they got Kay Cunningham. So make sure you guys tune in. This is going to be a lot of fun to watch on Sunday, again, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Until the next podcast, we're going to review that game on Monday. I'll catch you guys later. Thank you guys for supporting the podcast. Listen, I really appreciate it, guys. Make sure you guys go down below and give a 5-star rating and a review. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at CookieHillNBA and at LockedOnPistons. And until the next podcast, I'll see you guys later, everybody. Peace out.